Unless you've been living under a rock, you're aware of the COVID-19 coronavirus that has been hitting the streets of America. We over here in the podcast world want to give you a break from that world and decide to tell you our favorite end-of-the-world movies and television shows when it comes to remakes, reboots, and revivals.
Yes. And to clarify, though, it's not specifically just end-of-the-world stuff, although I think we might have some options.
Yeah, it's like a very broad term.
Yeah. I think it's just like recommendations from us.
Yes.
To watch in terms of the world is ending, mm-hmm. You know. You're probably quarantined at home. What will you be watching?
So you should watch that reflected in your media.
Yes. The way it should go.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. So yeah, so everyone's been watching the news. Media's making us all panic. We're here to tell you, don't panic and just watch some cool movies and TV shows.
Or panic, but still watch some good movies and TV shows.
Should people panic?
I think now it's starting to get like a point where I'm like, I'm getting a little nervous.
Okay.
Get nervous, I guess.
Get nervous, yeah. A little anxiety never hurt anyone.
That no, exactly.
A lie. Anxiety hurts everyone. But we're over here, you know, we're just trying to have a good time, and hopefully we won't be quarantined, but we're still going to give you new episodes because it's the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to actually do things remotely. So hopefully, you know, you guys will still want to hear us in the midst of all this panic, and we will definitely give you some new episodes. We're actually going to tackle some stuff we hadn't had time to before.
I know that, right? This gives us an opportunity. The movie theaters are closing, mm-hmm. so it's just like, I guess now's a good time to kind of watch some of the other stuff that's already been remade or rebooted. So I'm excited.
Definitely, because some of the stuff that are coming out in movies are kind of postponed, so.
Right, like Mulan.
Okay. Yeah, like, ugh.
Which so is sad. Our breaking news. Oh my god, more breaking news? What?
Breaking news. If you haven't heard, Disney has canceled their parks and has postponed some of their new theatrical releases, including Mulan.
And this affects you.
I was supposed to be going to Disney for my girlfriend's 30th birthday. It's not happening. She won't even be able to see Mulan now, which is her favorite.
Oh, Mulan is her favorite?
Mulan's her favorite. And she's like, it's coming out on my birthday, and it's not anymore.
Oh, I had an idea. Let's do a Mulan surprise party.
Oh my god, that'd be so cool. I hope she doesn't listen to this episode.
Spoilers on Jenny's birthday.
No, wait, can we like seriously like do that though? Like before we get quarantined, maybe even like a little early, like surprise, it's Mulan themed. That would be so cute.
That would be cute. I'm trying to think of, so like I'm thinking like Chinese lanterns, obviously.
Yes, let's just get really racist.
What? Chinese lanterns are like, what's it called? They're beautiful. Why?
No, are they Chinese lanterns. Everything, like we'll get, we'll put dragons.
Now who's racist?
No, it's good. I was thinking about coming like in like maybe some dragon outfit of some sort.
Yeah, we have the swords here too, so.
I want to be, I was going to say a geisha, but that's Japan, so.
Yeah.
I've shown my true colors again, I guess, as per usual on this show.
What is Mulan trying to be in the beginning of the film?
A concubine?
A concubine.
No, okay. I think she's just trying to be a bride. I don't think a concubine is like a, for the emperor, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
China had emperors.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He was the Emperor Ming, I want to say. It could be.
That was the Ming Dynasty, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's when the movie took place. It's not my favorite. I wouldn't know.
Oh, Mulan?
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. It's easily top 10. I was so jealous of my sister. She got to meet the voice of Mulan at the UN's Women's International Day.
Aww.
Yeah. Or take your, it might have been take your water daughter to work day and stuff, because my dad used to work at the UN and stuff, so he took her.
That's great.
And he got to meet the voice of Mulan.
The voice of Mulan. She has a name, but she's just the voice of Mulan.
I don't know the name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, sorry.
Ming Na Win?
Oh. Is that the name?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Ming Na Win.
Wait. The voice of Mulan, right?
Okay, not the singing voice, because I think it's a different singing voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does it mean when it says Fa Mulan?
Fa Mulan is her name. Okay. That's Mulan's name, right? Because in China,
your last name is,
well, it's your family name.
Your family name. Yeah.
Your surname.
Yeah.
Is
Well, she's the actress that's been in a lot of like sci-fi stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's actually was in recently in the Star Wars thing that we're watching.
Oh, what?
With Baby Yoda.
Oh.
Okay. Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. Thank you.
And also, she is, I think, one of the heads of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I think now I'm putting a face to it a little.
Okay.
I know who. All right.
Well, it doesn't matter because she's the voice of Mulan.
She is the voice of Mulan. I wonder what she had to say about, like, I wonder if she's getting, like, a role or anything in the, in Mulan, like a mom or something.
No, I'm not complaining, but I just think it's amazing that I just heard you, like, sip that coffee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which usually
I just, no, I think it's remarkable. I'm like, wow, this is I've never heard these things before. It's
oh, that's because of the cloud lifter. That's like, which we gotta
doing
pick.
A remarkable job.
We're going to need to pick one up for all of us because it just helps clean up the sound and boost it into the thing. So, yeah, guys, we're trying out new gear.
Yeah.
Again, thank you for everyone who donated.
Thank you so much. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's Mulan, that little breaking news that I posted. Did they pick a date yet of where they're postponing it to? I'm actually surprised, but I'm not anymore. I thought it was an overreaction because, you know, it's just like, I thought it was more like, it's just like, oh, I guess they don't have a lot of high hopes for this movie, right? So they're just using this as an excuse. But yeah. As it's looking more and more, like, theaters might start closing because of the virus. So
I think, at the moment, too, it just seems like that's like the popular thing to do, you know, like. After Broadway closed and the Disney parks closed, everyone's like, well, we might as well close.
Well, so. I mean, the CDC and the WHO basically said it's just like what's happening in Europe is only it's only a matter of time before it happens here. So
let's get ahead of it. Yeah.
Right.
So without, you know, you've heard enough about this. Everybody's glued to their phones and their TVs. So but they're watching the news. We're here to talk about media, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, times like these when you're walking through your grocery store and you see empty shelves. Or just, you know, when you feel the sense of panic wherever you go, it makes you think of the apocalypse, which we've seen in our movies and television before. And there have been some really great stuff out there, some of which have been rebooted, or revived into different movies and TV shows.
Yes.
There's a bunch of them. There's zombie ones.
There are zombie ones.
There's kind of alien invasion ones. And then there's disaster ones, quote unquote disaster, where it's like a natural phenomena, right? Does I'm it, thinking the Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, it's just like, that's what?
Have you seen the Poseidon Adventure?
I've actually seen the remake.
Poseidon.
I've never seen the Poseidon Adventure.
I've seen both.
And?
I loved.
The Poseidon loved Adventure.
The original
so
one I loved.
There's got to
be. I hear the original one is like bad good. Like it's not like, it's good, but like it's also pretty bad.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I think it's like, yeah, I guess I could. Yeah, I would classify that. It was so like popular though that it sparked like the whole fucking disaster trend of the 70s.
Interesting.
Towering Inferno, the airport movies, all that stuff.
Okay.
So it was very influential. And you know the song from it? There's got to be a morning after if we can hold on to the night. I'm not joking.
Wow. era when movies had like lead singles. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it won the Oscar.
What? For really?
Well, that was 1972. It was up against Cabaret. And I think maybe Cabaret. No, Cabaret had some new songs, so maybe Cabaret won. But it was definitely nominated.
Interesting.
It was a big hit.
Okay.
But yeah, so it was remade into Poseidon. And I didn't like it at all, but I don't even remember who's in it. The original Poseidon Adventure had like Gene Hackman and
Shelley Long.
Shelley Winters.
Oh, Winters, okay.
Yeah.
That was close. I got the first name.
But who's in Poseidon? I don't even remember.
Oh, I don't remember. Poseidon is a terrible movie.
It was really bad.
Poseidon.
Oh, Richard Dreyfuss, Kurt Russell, Josh Lucas, Emmy Rossum. By all means, this should have been a good film when you have Kurt Russell in it.
Yeah. Sure.
You don't agree with that?
What was the last good thing Kurt Russell has been in?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, you should see that.
I have no desire to see anything about the Manson murders.
You should see it.
I don't. You know what? I don't like Brad Pitt either.
You should see it.
He broke Jennifer Aniston's heart. I think we've talked about this on the podcast.
We did. But I mean, you know, with all this like unoriginal shit, it's a very original film, and it does bring an interest. Like it divides audiences, and I'd like to know what side you'd be on.
All right. Eventually.
Eventually. Day. Well, you're gonna be quarantined, so you'll have the time.
That gives me even. The world is ending around me. I want to make sure I surround myself with movies I want to see. If we survive the apocalypse, then maybe I'll watch it.
Okay. Well, the original did have Gene Hackman and Ernest Borgnine.
I don't know who
Shelley
that is.
Winters. Ernest Borgnine. Well, our generation's probably more familiar with him being the voice of Mermaid Man from SpongeBob.
Okay.
But Ernest Borgnine was in The Dirty Dozen. He was in From Here to Eternity. He was just an overall really, like, character actor. Right. He's in a lot of stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
I can't name any others right now. He was in Marty, great movie that he won the Oscar for.
No clue.
Okay. But yeah, okay. So that one's interesting because that's definitely like, you know, what happens when you're stuck somewhere and then the world is just like a storm.
Uh-huh.
You know, and having to survive within that kind of climate. Very different than what we're going through now, but a very interesting disaster movie within itself.
Right, for sure. Well, yeah, I mean, I remember the movie Poseidon is, you know, you're trying to get to the top of the ship, but it's also the bottom because, like, that's the mm-hmm. whole thing with Poseidon, right? It's upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this tidal wave that, like, flips the ship over. Now I want to watch the original one to see how they pull that off in
the
70s?
72.
70, ooh, early 70s.
Mm-hmm. Mm,
curious. The fashion must have been super glamorous, though.
So. Kind of.
Because, like, you know, I remember Poseidon, the new one, or the new, you know, mm-hmm. the remake took place, like, during, there was, like, a ball or something at the cruise, as there always is, I assume.
Okay.
And so everyone's, like, dressed in their fanciest clothing.
Do you remember who was singing at that ball?
No, was it like RuPaul or something?
No.
Who?
The lead singer from. I'm drawing a blank today of names and stuff like that.
Oh no, I don't. Lead I can't singer, say I know.
It was Fergie.
I wonder what she doing her London. Was she in the movie or did she die? She was in the movie.
No,
she died.
No, she died. She died. She died.
Good she for was in Fergie. The movie. She gets a death. I hope she got like a glam. I don't remember her in the movie, but
she died bravely. It was like the point where the wave was about to hit, and her and the captain. I guess they have a moment. They're hugging, and they're facing the wave, and.
Oh, how romantic!
It is romantic.
What a way to die.
Good job, Fergie.
Yeah.
This must be what one of two roles she's had on TV. And in film.
Yeah.
Nine. She was in Nine.
It was a great.
She was in Nine.
She's wearing a very. I remember that dress being great to die in.
I mean, that's
if you're gonna die fabulous.
That's the beauty of the Poseidon Adventure, right? Because it just makes you want to make sure you die glamorous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, is that one of your recommendations?
That's
Nicole?
One of mine. Yeah.
Oh, do you have any other?
Oh, I have a ton.
All right. Well, all right. So you have tons. All right. I'll go with one.
Okay.
So I was actually thinking. Obviously, we think of end of the world and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually thinking of Dawn of the Dead because mm-hmm. I actually mm-hmm. do enjoy both Dawn of the Dead. I think the original Dawn of the Dead is a smarter movie, obviously. It's a little more nuanced. It's a little the goriness, I guess it's like, you know, it's like that those like Hollywood effect gore, mm-hmm. Practical effects, which you don't get anymore. I love it. George Romero and stuff. However, the Zack Snyder remake of Dawn of the Dead does hold a special place in my heart because actually I think it's not bad, especially considering like all of Zack Snyder's work.
Yeah.
It's actually probably his best film that he's
definitely that think he's made. So.
I think it's well paced and stuff. I think the acting in it is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, you know, it was capitalizing off of the trend of like these new fast zombies that was introduced from 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
That just adds like a new element. You know, when you start when you start seeing zombies like start running and stuff, it just like adds like a new element of like surprise and stuff. And where 28 Days Later did it kind of a lot more subdued,
mm-hmm.
this one just went all in and just I think it works out so wonderfully.
For
so.
Sure.
And you know, I love any movie that's you see like the early onset of these plagues.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing now. I mean, you know, we were just in the grocery store and like we saw how people were going mad for, you know, bleach or for toilet paper and stuff. So it's just like, yeah, you know what? The world starts ending. Like I see the panic that people get in their eyes and stuff. And I think that's what ultimately becomes the scary part of a post-apocalyptic world. It's not the monsters. It's not the natural disasters out there that are like the enemy. It's like ourselves.
Yeah, our survival.
Uh-huh. And I think that's why movies like Dawn of the Dead, because Dawn of the Dead is not about the zombies at all.
It's about the people.
Both of these. It's always about the people stuck inside these mall trying to continue. Trying to continue some semblance of life that isn't there anymore because, you know, the world has ended and stuff. So mm-hmm. it's just, I tend to be a fan of these horror movies.
For sure. And it was really, like you said, like we had never really seen zombies like that. So it was just kind of like a new way of like approaching it and thinking and a new set of fear mm-hmm. kind of like setting in. And it's like, oh my God, what if they can outrun us?
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, you know? Like why couldn't they outrun us?
Yeah.
At least the young, vibrant ones, you know.
Mm-hmm. But the original George A. Romero one is still actually quite good.
No, it is. It's I think the last time I saw it was maybe between 5 and 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And probably early into our relationship, I must have rewatched Eddie. But Yeah, it you know, it still holds up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a movie that... That is a movie that, like, well, it's never on TV, but, like, if it is, if I was just town surfing and it was on, I would sit down and finish it.
Yeah, for sure.
At whatever point I got onto it. Same thing with this, The New Dawn of the Dead. It's not, like, I don't know why, I don't see it a lot either in, like, you know, Showtime, HBO.
Yeah, it's kind of, like, 2004 is when it came out, so it's just kind of, like, now it's kind of being forgotten in a weird way because it's not being replayed right. And stuff. It's, like, that weird age where it's almost 20 years old, but it's not really old enough.
Right.
You know?
Although maybe now it'll start getting, I'm assuming a lot of these, like, apocalyptic feeling movies are going to start being pushed out into the...
For sure. Well, the highest, the most watched film right now is Contagion.
Right.
Which is so weird.
That's a... Wait, Contagion is which one?
That's Law? A Steven Soderbergh one. I think Jude Law's in it. Paltrow's in it. Okay. Rooney Mara and just Matt Damon.
Which is the one that has Dustin Hoffman?
That is Outbreak.
Outbreak.
The monkey.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. The monkey, yes. Yeah. Everyone tells me I haven't seen it, so...
Mm-hmm. Isn't it a joke that that's the same monkey that in the first season of Friends, Ross's monkey?
Is it?
Good actor.
Wow, that this monkey got joke. Around. No, it can't be. What's it called? Wasn't Contagion? Outbreak. Wasn't that from like the 80s? Yeah, what year was Outbreak?
I think it was in the
90s. It was in the
90s. Oh, so it might be.
It was
95, yeah.
Outbreak is in the top 10 on Netflix, though.
Is it?
Yeah, I think. I saw it on the...
There you go. Like, you know, people...
Or at least last week I saw it.
Wow. This is interesting, too. The director of Outbreak was the same director for the remake of Poseidon.
Really?
Wolfgang Peterson.
Oh, look at the connection. Look at the connection we're making. Not even realizing it.
That's hilarious. That's great. So, now so it's in the top 10 in Netflix. I guess people just like to surround themselves with this idea of, like, what happens next.
Yes,
and
for
so,
sure.
Let's turn to movies to find out.
I think it's weird too, because sometimes like movies either reflect something that's happened, or sometimes movies predict things. You know, like we saw a black president in our film before we got in reality.
True.
You know, and obviously, however the world will end if it ever does, movies have one movie out there probably predicted it.
It's true.
So, and we've seen things in our like our future. You know, Minority Report. I feel like there's a lot of things that were in that movie that are coming true about like
this is true, like how we try to solve crime and stuff, or predict crime, which I think is the scary part, right? Because it's just like these algorithms are trying to predict like who we are as people and how we're going to act and stuff. I mean, that's how the real science is going, like trying to like they're trying to figure out what these predictors are that will tell law enforcement who is a potential threat in the future and stuff. And so that's like scary because it's
you
just
red
like,
flag people,
yeah,
and you have people of interest, like these are they're on our watch list.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
But let's not forget, I feel like it's the people who usually commit like the most heinous crimes are the people that you least suspect. So it's just like, and they tend to throw off, you know, the algorithms.
They
so
do,
it's just
yeah.
like, why? Yeah, I'm not down with that.
And that movie guys taught us something that don't do that.
Right.
It's a bad thing. So let's not do that. But that movie also showed what it would be like if cars could think for themselves. Because like nobody remember in that world, nobody drove cars. Like cars kind of didn't. We already had Tesla and stuff. So
that's true. We're seeing the rise of the
smart car.
Thank you.
And then we saw in Chucky how that all went wrong.
Oh, Child's Play. That's right.
The most sweetest character too. The mother.
Yeah, it's weird. Movies propose
not the mother of the boy, but the mother of their
of
neighbor.
The cop. Yeah, the mother of the cops. Yeah. The cop's mom.
Yeah. Movies can either tell us that it's gonna go well or it's gonna go bad. It depends on what movie you believe.
I feel like most movies tell us it's gonna go downhill quick.
Terribly bad.
People love to feed into the fear. Eddie, do you have any recommendations? End of the world related
so
or what
many,
people should?
So many. So this was my thing at one point. I was really fascinated with end of the world movies, end of the world reality shows, end of the world books. At one point, I joined a book club that was called like the Apocalypse Book Club.
Ooh.
Where we read all like books dealing with like end of the world stuff.
Oh.
Book club. And the funny thing was that I had a good friend at one of my previous jobs named Joanne. And we would talk about this all the time. It would just be our joke. We spent a lot of time working together. We always talk about it. And we went to the movies together to see that movie with Steve Carell and Keira Knightley. The one, Seeking a Friend
at
for
the end
of the
world.
Oh, wow.
And so we saw that together. And that was actually a really heartwarming and a beautiful movie about friendship, about finding someone in the last moments of your life. Mm-hmm. And you know, what she does for him and what he does for her at that last moment. And I remember just me and Joanne, like, as it's coming to its conclusion, the world is going to end. And they're just there looking in each other's eyes and being there for each other for that moment. He's telling her not to be afraid. I'm crying. And Joanne is crying. And I'm like, I said, Joanne, you see, I told you, end of the world. It's not going to be about shits and giggles. You know, it's going to be about serious tears. Mm. But I really love that movie.
Aww.
But also a big fan of Doomsday Preppers was that reality TV show. That especially started like in 2012. And that's when the whole hype about 2012, like the Mayan calendar is over. We have to, you know, they made a movie called 2012.
Mm-hmm. So it's sorry, like, Nicolas Cage. I seen that.
Is it Nicolas Cage?
It was Nicolas Cage in 2012.
It was John Cusack.
John Cusack.
Oh, whoops. But I did see it. Wait, was Nicolas Cage, was he in a disaster movie?
Yes, not The Happening. He was in another one. It was about the kind of like the end of the world.
Okay. Easily. There was like a whole.
The Happenings? Something like
something
that?
Something like it was. There was a point where like it was always some sort of end of the world disaster movie. Those were popular. Like I remember The Day After Tomorrow, for example, mm-hmm. was another one.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
I actually like that one.
And that was kind of like The Day After.
The day.
Yes.
The day after.
The day after.
Yeah.
That was the one like 1984.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Doomsday Preppers.
Doomsday Preppers. I love this show. Is now, I think, on Netflix, National Geographic Channel. It was on a reality television show that was aired on the National Geographic channels from like 2011 to 2014.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically people preparing for the end of the world. These are preppers, and they always chose individuals like prepping for a specific thing. So it's like, we're prepping for a natural disaster. We're prepping for the economy to explode and the government putting martial law. People are prepping for an outbreak of a serious virus. And they basically followed these people, and they basically went through, like, what's your system? What are you doing? How are you guys prepping for this? Huh. And I found it very, very, very fascinating. But I always wondered, especially people prepping for 2012, I always wondered about the families, because usually it's maybe it's usually the father, the husband that's, like, really into this, and the family's just going along for the ride. So you see those episodes where it's really, like, the family, like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess dad's really believing in this. And then I always wonder when the event was supposed to happen and it didn't happen.
Hmm.
And how did the families react to that?
Yeah, did you divorce him?
Like we spent all this effing money preparing for like some end of the world. My thing was a guy who drained his pool and was using his giant pool as like a storage for stuff. And his wife, she wasn't like all into it.
It's your pool.
But I was just thinking like, it's 2012, the day after that, and like the world didn't end. I want my fucking pool back.
Yeah.
Get your shit out.
Although,
I want to go swimming.
Although, I feel like a lot of those people, granted, their disaster didn't happen.
Yeah.
I feel like they're quite feeling vindicated right now.
There's just some
like,
things, oh, yeah, definitely.
Look what's happening now. Yeah. Guess who's ready for this apocalypse?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. So, they must have been fighting. Up until this very point. Because now he has that upper hand. It's just like, wow.
See?
You had a pool.
See?
Where's all my stuff that I stored in it? Oh, man. To be a fly on that wall, right?
Seriously.
It's interesting. Actually, you bring up a good point that maybe, you know, we're let's be real. We're just shooting shit here, right?
We are.
But let's talk about gender dynamics about these Doomsday Preppers. Because I think you're right. It is usually the men who are constantly preparing for, you know, the prep for the end of the world and stuff. Why do you think that women aren't the ones also worried? Because I feel like women are usually the ones who take, I would actually put my hands into the safety of a woman than, I would put my safety in the hands of a woman over a man any day of the week.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, right? Because they don't prepare like in that sense. Like they're not like, what's it called? These doomsday preppers. So I don't know, Nicole, as a woman, why do you think that is?
I think societal expectations just make people think the man's supposed to take care of the woman and the family. So like he almost takes it upon, he as in like some people take it upon themselves to like do this and be like, well, I'm going to be prepared and I'm going to take care of my family. I'm the man in the house and stuff like that. I've never been one to spend too much time thinking about the world ending. So, but I do know that I feel like women are just, we're more nurturing in general. So I think that when it comes to maybe not having our an isolation tank, you know, like stacked up or a pool or just having everything prepared, but we will be able to help nurture and guide people through it 100% emotionally and intuitively and just overall psychologically. We might not be able to physically help out, but you kind of need us to. This is a very general statement.
Broad strokes here.
But it's interesting too, because going back to media and kind of like how people are like obsessed right now with like looking at like Contagion or Outbreak, there's this meme going around that I kind of want to clarify right now about The Simpsons predicting the coronavirus. Have you guys seen this?
No.
People are obsessed with the fact that The Simpsons, a show that's been on for 30 years, 25 episodes per season, predicted it. And it's absolutely false. Somebody is doing it as a hoax. And they claimed that in 1994, they did an episode where like there was a flu that came from Japan. And this is very much an episode, but they never called it the coronavirus. They called it the Osaka flu. So I just want to clarify that right now, because I know a bunch of people are fucking claiming this around the internet, and it's going like wildfire. And it's really annoying, because all you have to do is watch the episode and know that they didn't put coronavirus. It was Osaka flu.
Man.
So, God damn it, people.
Internet
stop.
Ruining like, everything.
This is how just the fear mongering happens too. Well, The Simpsons predicted this. This means we're all going to die.
Right.
So annoying.
Or, sorry, feeding into conspiracies. It's just yes. like, yeah.
That's the last thing we need to do right now.
Yeah.
So.
I get it. But, yeah, just like, what's it called? When Eddie brought up that thing about like, it's just like, it's always a man. It's just like, that is a good point. It is always the men doing
this. But
always
a man. I mean, I guess too, it's what.
It's usually the man.
What gets filmed.
Well.
Too. Like who they look for or who presents themselves like, hey, yeah, I'm a Doom Dave's prepper. Let me tell you, I feel like there were certain things that I would keep to myself.
For sure.
Being a Doomsday prepper, I would keep to myself. Like I'll do my thing and everything. Because when the day does come, you don't want 100 people knocking on your door.
Yeah.
Let me in.
I do, because I want to feel like Rorschach in Watchmen. And, you know, he says, it's like people are coming to me asking for help. And I look down and say, no. That's how I want to be.
Well, you know, there's a TV show that has depicted the end of the world many, many times, which is The Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
I feel like there's
okay.
a bunch of episodes, which we've covered, actually. Yes. This was around this time last year. And I actually think one of the best episodes about the world ending is centered around a woman.
Which episode is that?
It's called The Midnight Sun.
Uh-huh.
And in the episode, they're getting closer and closer to the sun. That's how
they're... Oh, this is a good episode. Yes. This is a phenomenal episode.
And, you know, and she's just, like, freaking out. And, like, people are like, what do we do? And it's too hot and all this stuff. And it's just, like, this existential almost, like, crisis of, like, having to deal with it. And that one is not, like, preoccupied with... what she's doing. It actually, she just stays in her room the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just more about like how she's feeling and how she's surviving in her own head. But
taking care of the elderly neighbor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, being more of a nurturer and all this stuff. But it turns out it was all a spoiler. It turns out it was a dream. And in reality, they're getting further away from the sun.
Right.
It's, and they're going to freeze.
They're experiencing like an ice age.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
So interesting that you bring that up, that, you know, that storyline, because, so I haven't seen it yet, but I want to. And I was like, doing some research on stuff of movies to talk about the end of the world. This popped up. It's called The Wandering Earth. It came out 2019. It was huge in China where it was made, but now it's on Netflix. And the whole premise is scientists are trying to figure out how to move the Earth because the sun is getting bigger. And it's about to consume the Earth. So they're trying to move the Earth further away from the sun. At the same time, too, they don't want to collide with Jupiter.
Oh. Huh.
So according to this, it's like, sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But fun to watch.
Yeah, so, that does. That sounds.
So that's called The Wandering Earth, and that can be found on Netflix. So I haven't seen it, but I think it's something I'm going to put on my list.
That's a really interesting concept. And that sounds really similar to that Twilight Zone episode. Is that, yeah, because that's also like, fuck, can't do anything. Moving the Earth? They just got so much anxiety from that. Like, fuck.
I love it.
Yeah, that's I know I would be like a nervous wreck watching that movie because I already have anxiety set on me. But
my goodness, yeah. Twilight Zone. Is that one of your other recommendations? Or
I mean, definitely watch some Twilight Zone episodes, guys.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah. They have one where the first episode ever is kind of like where this guy is walking through a street. A town and it's completely abandoned. He's like, where is everybody? You know, what if one day you just wake up and everyone's gone?
Uh-huh.
Time Enough at Last, a classic, you know, the guy who is in the bank.
The one who loves to read.
Yes.
Yes.
And now he has all the time to read.
And then he loses his glasses at the end.
Oh, yeah. This is a spoiler, but yeah.
we covered this in one of the previous episodes.
We did, yeah.
This is so interesting, right? Those are also like good episodes that are like really solid and like still hold up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did that remake on CBS All Access.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, they chose to cover instead to remake the episode that had to do with the plane and William Shatner.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's so many other better episodes. Like, why?
So many better episodes.
Why is this the one you guys like chose? I don't know. I just felt like missed opportunities.
I wonder if it's also because the second reboot of the Twilight Zone redid the monsters on Maple Street, and that was, it was good, but like it was so universally panned as a reboot that they're like, okay, let's take an episode that people are more familiar with.
I see. So the monsters on Maple Street. I said Beale Street last time, right? That's what. Because with the yes. movie. Something on Beale Street. Okay. So, but that, I remember, yeah, that episode was also, it wasn't as good, obviously, as the original one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what made it interesting was kind of like turning it, instead of aliens, it's like the government.
Yes.
Right? So it had like an interesting plot. They kind of like, womp womp a little.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it wasn't that bad and stuff. So I just wish that, yeah, the new Twilight Zones, I don't know why, and I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, I stopped watching them.
Yeah, but I wish that, had they done like that episode, like one of those two episodes, I think I would have for sure checked those out. So.
Yeah.
I was excited to check out the airplane episode, and it was just kind of a little letdown.
It was, especially with the way they ended it. Mm. That was definitely devastating.
The ending is what was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
For sure. It ruined it. If they had just like cut to black, it probably would have been a better episode.
Definitely.
Bad editing.
Now, maybe we can cover this, which I think is one of the ultimate end of the world depictions in movies and TVs, but Last Man on Earth. Omega Man, I Am Legend.
Oh, okay.
All from the same source material.
Right.
And it's just about, like you normally, especially in, I think, I Am Legend, you see what it was like when like people were panicking and like all this stuff and the world ending and then the after effect and he's alone amongst people who are now very, like they got the disease and now they're fucked. They're like zombies and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Where Last Man on Earth, it's just like weird zombies that are like trying to get to him and they like know his name and all this stuff. And then the Omega Man is a whole different thing.
The Omega Man is one with Charlton.
Charlton Heston.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen the one before that one.
Yeah, they're actually that's Vincent Price.
Oh, I did.
1956.
Interesting. Wait, Charlton Heston is dead.
Charlton Heston is dead.
Oh,
Charlton Heston died a while ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Remember we had a toast for him.
But that would be interesting because they're three completely different films.
Interesting.
And I think they're some of the best. I mean, overall as a story, I think it's a great like. Richard, I think it's I Am Legend. Richard Matheson's I Am Legend.
I think that is yes.
One of, to me, the best end of the world like scenarios.
Interesting. I remember I Am Legend, but I didn't like the fact that like Will Smith's character was also involved with the end of the world.
Mm.
That was kind of just like I hate.
Womp womp.
Yeah, it's just like you don't need that. Like I actually think if you don't give me that backstory and stuff, like just a man losing his family during the apocalypse is already heartbreak enough. To give him the responsibility of the apocalypse too doesn't make me more sympathetic towards him. If anything, it makes me angry with him.
To be there, I mean, the hope of it, the hope of ending it.
Even then, it's just like make him just a regular person who is so delusional that he thinks that like he can still save humanity somehow, some way, despite like if he has no background in like science, right? Make him. Even more tragic. It's just like you have no background in this field. Like you really, he's just this obsessed with possibly trying to like save some form of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would have been good.
It would have been just.
I liked it. I think so. I liked the movie too. I like him being a scientist and trying to figure things out. Because it I think it connects with the book. Because in the book, the zombie like people, they're intelligent.
Mm.
They think he's the monster. You know, they have the perception that he's the one. He's hunting us.
Yeah.
So they're reacting to him.
Right.
Too. So it gives us kind of a perception of like who's the bad guy.
Right. Sure. You know? That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Which is really different from the Omega Man. And the way that whole story went. Have you guys seen the Omega Man?
No, but I'm loving the... I'm looking at the pictures of it.
Yeah.
I'm just like loving the...
It's really interesting all the directions they go in.
Interesting. No, I haven't seen him. Check it out. Maybe that'll be something we cover like while we're...
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, because he's a survivor of a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this pandemic is quite interesting. I saw The Last Man on Earth once. It was a really bad copy, and I just remember it. It was interesting. I don't think you guys would like The Last Man on Earth, but it's still... I think we should watch them. They're three completely different films.
Check them out. I'm down. I'm always open to new recommendations.
Hey.
That's been the fun thing about this podcast, right? Like, sometimes we'll watch some... far out stuff and it's just like, oh, this is good.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to share with a story maybe off topic a little bit, but introduce this podcast to a friend at work, and he listened to our recent podcast of Pokemon. And he said, you know what I love about your podcast? I got this really nostalgic moment of I want to go back and watch old episodes of Pokemon.
Aww.
You know, and just like things that I missed that you guys mentioned.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See? Yeah, that's the whole beauty. I mean, that's the whole fun thing about revisiting the past where it's just like sometimes when you're looking at it with new, fresh perspectives and stuff, it just changes how you absorb the media and stuff. And I don't know. I think sometimes that's... It could go either way, right?
It can.
But I think for the most part, like, at least how we've been doing it stuff has been more fun than anything.
I also think that it's really great, like, and especially when we're more familiar with the remake or the reboot or the revival, and we go back and we see the original, and the original is spectacular.
Right.
And we're, like, surprised by it. And just also sometimes when you see two things that they're supposed to be similar and they're just so different and creative in their own ways, you know, it's been really cool.
It's true.
Yeah. So by the way, this is now the time for us to do a book club. Now's the time when we're going to be quarantined.
Yeah, virtual book club?
For 14 days. Mm-hmm.
Just all meet via Skype and stuff and being like, let's talk about
easy.
It.
Yeah.
I got my next recommendation.
Oh, what's yours?
So because of the coronavirus, how they're telling us to be careful with who you interact with, you know, making sure you give people elbows instead of shaking hands.
Yeah.
Social distancing, as it's called. I think a good... If only for the title. No, this movie is actually good, though. It is Let the Right One In and Let Me In. Mm-hmm. If only because this whole... I love this idea. First of all, I love a romantic story. It's like... I think the American one is more romantic than the original one, which I think was Norwegian?
Swedish, yeah.
Swedish. Okay, Swedish. Man, those Swedes.
Yeah.
But if you don't know the story is about a little bullied boy who befriends a new neighbor who happens to be a vampire.
Yeah.
And they give her some of the... She actually, like, in both movies, she gets some of the goriest scenes for, like, a child to, like, you know, murder these people. But it's like the American one, I have a nice place in my heart for it because I think it's a nice coming-of-age story that is also kind of about love. I think the Swedish one actually is more about friendship.
Yeah.
But, you know, I it's such a cute movie. Oh, cute is the wrong word. But, like, I think it's such a... There's, like, a nice heartwarming tale around that, right? Because this poor kid, he's bullied.
Mm.
And he befriends his new girl, right? And, you know, she's a fucking vampire. What do you do? And it's not, like... And it's not a comedy by any means. It sounds like a very funny premise.
No.
But it's such a... I mean, both of them... I think both of them are very well done. I actually think the Swedish one might be better.
Yes, and it's darker.
It is darker, visually and
by tone.
But it's they're both good movies and stuff. And I think, you know, we're going to be in quarantine, I think most of us, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least we're going to be working from home and stuff. Don't go to the coffee shop, guys. That's cheating. but, I you know, this the title, if anything, just brings up this idea of, like, you have to be careful who you're letting into your house now because of this virus and stuff. And you don't want to get infected with the vampirism.
Well, okay, so I have one last one that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Which is, this one now is going to go into the alien realm, but the premise of this one is more about how the only people who can make a difference are us.
Ooh.
Because that's what it comes to right now is that, hey, if we all are really smart about this, then maybe we can make that curve, instead of doing a big sharp curve, it can be a slightly smaller curve.
Okay, yes.
The day the Earth stood still.
Interesting choice. I think you're going to go with a different alien movie.
No, I prefer the original, actually. I think the original is one of the greatest sci-fi films ever.
I've never seen it.
Incredible. A guy, Klaatu, comes from a different planet to warn Earth that if we don't stop doing what we're doing in terms of war and famine on top of each other, that's going to mean the end of the world for us.
Okay.
So unless we all come to terms with peace, like the world is, the galaxies are watching us, and we're watching how stupid we are, and like how we're kind of like creating war and famine and disaster amongst ourselves.
Right.
And then if we don't stop, they're going to put an end to us.
Interesting.
And he's coming to bring that message. So he's like, it's really simple. Join us and live in peace or be doomed. And it's, at the end of the day, it's like, it's just, and people are like so threatened by him, and they want to like, they're scared by him. And all he has is to bring the simple message that it's literally up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different type of science fiction film, because it has like all like the markers of like, he comes with like his bodyguard, and he just kind of like stands there, and it's like really scary.
The big things, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And so it's like, but it's really like, it's more subtle, and it's just about the human race and our kind of our inevitability of being like really messed up people and being capable of terrible stuff, and us having to like rise to the challenge to be better.
Right.
And so like, you know, just, I think it has that message is like, right now it's up to us, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want this stuff to get out of control, even though it kind of already is, but to control it even more, it's up to us to kind of just be wise and self-quarantine and blah, blah, blah.
Interesting.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Good movie. The original. Watch the remake.
The remake is what? With Nicole Kidman, right?
No. Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
And Jennifer Connelly.
Okay, so I think I was confusing it with, what was it? Nicole Kidman was in a remake of some sorts. Oh, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yes.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yes, which is a great one.
Is it?
So good.
The original or the remake?
All of them.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually, that was the 70s remake
really good.
Is so fucking good.
Oh, I haven't. Maybe that's something we should cover then.
The 1956 one. This one's a little different, because this one is about how, like, when you sleep, people will snatch your body, and then, like, you'll still be you, but it will be somebody else.
Interesting.
So it's like, so don't go to sleep, and don't, you know, like, don't, you can't trust your own home anymore. So it's kind of the opposite of right now.
That's what we should be recommending to people right now, as we're quarantined. I love it.
But the original is very good.
Okay.
And so is the 70s one. I haven't seen the new one, but yeah, that would be a great one to watch. I think that's also another great science fiction film. I'm a big fan of the 50s sci-fi movies, you know, so I love them.
Yeah, yeah. They tend to be good.
They seem to be more existential.
Yes, mm-hmm. For sure. Actually, one of the 50 ones. Did you ever see the War of the Worlds? The
1950 one? Yes.
Okay, so that was actually going to be one of my recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Only, again, it's like kind of another apocalyptic world and stuff. But I actually do like the Steven Spielberg one.
The Spielberg one was good.
It's a competent film.
Yeah.
How to say that? I think it lacks a little bit of the heart from the 53 one. But it is a very, very well done film.
It does better at like showing what would happen and all that stuff, but it does lack like emotion.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That's exactly what it is. It feels a little cold when I'm watching it, despite the fact it is a visually pleasing movie to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's Tom Cruise also, though. That kind of gives me that kind of cold feeling.
But then like Minority Report so successful. So it's, you know, that was another Spielberg, Tom Cruise film.
I enjoy Tom Cruise in it, and him being this like kind of like broken down dad, you know, taking care of his two kids and ultimate, like, I want to bring them back to their mom.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's kind of the journey.
I believe it's a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
He was kind of a deadbeat.
Okay. Deadbeat dad.
He was.
Yeah. He wasn't that good a dad.
He was actually I think that's the whole point of the movie. He was such a horrible father.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like his redemption arc, which is actually, now in retrospect, is actually his like actual personal growth as a character was remarkable in the film, because he goes from, not that he didn't care for his children, but he was just a bad fatherly figure.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the journey has to go to like get his daughter. Mind you, that's the whole, what this whole movie is about, is about him getting his daughter to the mom who he feels she's probably safest with.
Yeah.
Not with him is a tragic in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, I don't remember if his son survived at the end, but I know his son and
his
him
son
have
did.
A, yeah. His son did survive.
So it's so weird, because it's like his son leaves them behind. He's like, I have to, like, in the middle of this fight with like the giant, giant robotic,
I have to go.
Ships, he's like, I have to go. And
I
he's
have to
like,
fight for humanity.
I don't even know it was that. He's like, I have to see this. And he like, okay, son. And the kid runs towards the danger, I kind of think. And then at the end of the movie, you see him bringing his daughter to some like suburban
the home. Like it's
Brooklyn,
like
think, it looked like Brooklyn Heights. Almost.
I think it's like the, I think it's yeah. a grandma's house where yeah, the mom was gonna be staying.
And yeah. then the son is there.
Yeah, he makes He's it
like,
somehow.
He got there before him. It's like, wait, what the shit?
It's like when I play D&D and I'm like, as a DM, I'm just like, here's where suddenly this character appears. Like, how did he get there? Yeah. What is it? Like, don't think about it, guys. It's fine.
It's not important. He's there.
But no, yeah. So I actually like that. Interestingly enough, mm-hmm. this one is currently being remade right now. It's on Epix. It's a TV show.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen it. Mm. Don't know anything about it. Possibly considering maybe covering for the podcast, but mm-hmm. who has Epix? I don't have Epix.
Well, this is actually an interesting segue. And yeah, I didn't even know Epix was a thing. This is an interesting segue because we all know that in 1938, Orson Welles did War of the Worlds on the radio. But he right. approached it differently. He approached it as if it was actually happening in real time.
Yes.
And you know that that set panic within certain viewers who listened to it, and audiences who listened to it. They actually thought that the world was... Because he was so believable in the way that he approached it, where he was doing it as a live broadcast.
So that's kind of an urban legend. It wasn't as much panic as like,
people wasn't
thought.
As much. Yeah. But that's also a good example of how the media can control your fear, guys.
Ooh. Ooh, I love it. Yes. Tell us more.
Right now, I think people are like super afraid to... touch each other, to go out, and like we should be precautious. I just said that we should be precautious, and it's up to us when I talked about the J there at Sidstel. But now I'm also going to say, do not let the fear control your lives.
No,
this
for sure.
feels like a media inspired thing. And you know, you go on YouTube and all I see are just like all these videos of this, and it's just like inescapable at this point. I get it, it's kind of scary, but it's all about being more cautious and don't give in to the fear, because media is incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
With that. That's why we have a podcast talking about media. Mm. It controls our lives in a lot of ways.
It does. It controls what we're supposed to like, what we're supposed to watch,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And I think like the movies that I'm attracted to when it comes to the end of the world is movies that show the best of humanity and how they react in these most extreme and almost hopeless situations
yeah.
that they give hope, and how they treat each other
mm-hmm.
too in that process.
I go the opposite. I actually love to see.
That's my husband.
I love to see movies that bring out the worst in people, that show the worst in people, because I guess I'm a pessimist. Like, I ultimately, we were just at Walmart. We saw the shit show it is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the truth is, like, we are more inclined to go, what's it called, to break bad when it comes to the end of the world than we are to, like, be hopeful and like be inspiring and like, you know, be a leader. Like, I don't want to lead during the end yeah. of the world. I want to be making sure that me, Eddie, my family were okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not worried about humanity. I'm worried about our lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm never worried for the greater good. And yet, thank God for people like Eddie who are here for the greater good, for humanity's sake. You know what I mean?
It's called balance.
Yeah. Where do you fall, Nicole?
I guess somewhere in between.
Really?
Yeah. I'm the intermediate.
You'll find out when like shit hits the fan.
Pretty
much.
It's
like where?
I can never really know. But I also do think that, you know, people shouldn't panic and it's up to us.
Yeah.
I do fall more into that.
Just yesterday, I spent all day. It was like at work. I was just doing paperwork. So I had like BBC on and I was just going through all the reports on it. And it was just like hearing all the things that are going on around the world. And even also dealing with what's going on with us and our clients, making sure that our clients are clients who are elderly, who are sick, that they're being taken care of, and are the workers, are they putting themselves out there in situations? So it's just like all these things running to my head, and I remember being home and a little nervous about this. This is realizing how big this is too. And we were in Walmart and seeing that too. I felt like I was in a movie. Like how it begins on the movies, you know, you're listening to the reports and people, yeah. you know, and you see people just rushing with their carts and they're stacked. There's like 5 gallons of milk. They have every Clorox wipe they could find.
Which is dumb to have 5 gallons of milk. No. It's just like, milk's going to go bad, guys. Like, yeah. why is it, why do we always run towards eggs and milk and bread? It's like the most perishable items.
Seriously.
You know, just thinking that and feeling like, shit, I'm just like. And it's like, this is just like how every of these movies start.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just waiting for the moment when people start yelling or breaking down, like society begins to break down. Like, oh, you know, you're trying to go ahead of me, and it's like they're fighting and stuff. And
it doesn't take an apocalypse for us.
I know. Yeah. It's not there.
No offense, but we've already broken down in the way that we're like being terribly unkind to the Asian community and all this stuff.
Exactly. And so, to the elderly. And I thought about that. I just thought about all these movies that I've seen. It's like, this is an opportunity to kind of learn from how we see these events too. Like how we see the events, how we react to others when stuff like this begins to happen and things begin to fall apart. And I was thinking about like how do we treat our neighbor? How do we treat our brother, sister, who are we in this moment?
Yeah.
That's going to be very significant.
And to kind of like bounce off of what you're saying, you know, it does feel like a movie, but we need to remember that this isn't a movie, that it's reality. And like, even though we've seen this reflected in our stuff, we need to make a stand and act differently.
Ooh, I think that's a wonderful way to end this episode, actually, because that is truth, you know, despite what the media is telling us and despite like what our own fears and insecurities are telling us, you know, we can't control the future and stuff. So it's just like, hunker down, watch some of our recommendations.
Yes, and I'm going to leave it with the words of Klaatu from The Day the Earth Stood Still of how it's up to us.
Oh, good.
So on that note,
stay unoriginal.